No such thing as an omen. A Good Omens multivoice podfic, written by Farrah Tuxedo and read by
Sky Asimaru
and Jap. Chapter 3. The only way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it. In a turn of events that was, in all fairness, less surprising than he might have admitted to if asked, Crawley found himself pressed against the sharp edge of the table, being kissed to within an inch of his life. His head was cradled by soft fingers, skin still wrinkled from the long soak in the bathtub, rubbing little circles on the base of his skull. Aziraphale kissed like Crowley knew he would. Slow and deliberate, savoring every touch, all sweeping tongues and gentle caresses. Deep breaths that Crowley felt in the way Aziraphale's chest expanded against his own, cushioned by the thick layer of the dressing gown between them. This was meditative. This was mindful. Which was all well and good, but Crowley had just spent the past hour of his life watching this man take a bath, driven mad by fantasies of his naked body uncovered by rose-scented foam. He wanted to move to the next stage of this, and fast. With an arm wrapped around Aziraphale's waist, he pushed away from the table, steering the two of them towards what he sincerely hoped was the foot of an enormous bed. A few steps, then they bumped into something. Aziraphale let out a tiny gasp before he dropped backwards, softly landing on the floral quilt. Without taking his eyes off Crowley, he pulled at the bow that held the dressing gown in place. The notch came apart much too slowly, the friction of fabric on fabric tearing at Crowley's nerves. Finally, the dressing gown fell open, thick white fabric parting to reveal in full glory the body Crowley had spent the afternoon fantasizing about. And what a feast it was, the picture of Aziraphale laid out like that. Neck stretched as he threw his head back, pale curls blending seamlessly into the white cotton of the pillowcase. All of him a composition of soft curves, plush and tempting. Crowley stood at the foot of the bed and took in the sight, eyes roaming over Aziraphale's chest, furred and heaving, the gentle curve of his belly, the hint of hip bones shifting underneath his skin, his cock pink and nearly hard, inviting to be touched, to be spoiled. With trembling fingers, Crowley opened the top three buttons of his shirt before pulling it over his head. He fumbled with the belt for an embarrassing amount of time. Aziraphale lifted his head and, with a dirty grin that looked all shades of wrong on his cherubic face, crossed his forearms behind his head to get a better view.
If you want a hand, my dear, you need only ask.
Crowley tried to groan, but his voice wouldn't cooperate. Instead, he fumbled with his belt some more, to absolutely no effect. Finally, taking pity on him, Aziraphale sat up and shuffled over to the foot of the bed.
Come here. If you go any slower, we'll still be here next year.
He shot Crowley a look that could only be described as demonic, and undid his belt and flies in what felt like a single motion. Underneath them, Crowley was already hard and straining, cock twitching at the promise of what these thick, manicured hands could do to him.
I can't believe you just said... fuck!
Aziraphale pressed his palm against the bulge in Crowley's pants, spreading his thumb and fingers around it. Glorious pressure, promising and unsatisfying. The rough scratch of dry cotton when what he craved was skin on skin. A hand slipped around the back of Crowley's thighs, pulling him closer to the edge of the bed. A surprisingly possessive gesture. With the other hand, Aziraphale pinched the taut fabric of his pants and pulled both them and his trousers down to his knees, which had just begun to shake in anticipation of what Crowley knew was going to be absolutely knockout. If Aziraphale savored cock like he did mediocre seafood pizza, he was in for a treat. As if he could read his mind, Aziraphale dipped his head and took Crowley's cock into his mouth. Just the head, tongue swirling around it, setting his nerves on fire. Crowley's hands sank into Aziraphale's hair, and it really was like a cloud, silky and wispy and still damp from the bath. Aziraphale let out a soft moan at the contact, a sound more felt than heard as it vibrated right into Crowley's pelvis. He shuddered. With a hand digging into his arse, Aziraphale pulled Crowley deeper into his mouth, into his throat, slick and hot around him. Fuck! It was a tight squeeze around his cock. The desire to move, to fuck into that heat, was nearly overwhelming. Crowley breathed a deep breath, tried to feel the carpet under his bare feet, the softness of blonde curls around his fingers. Aziraphale moved, maddeningly slow, taking Crowley all the way until his nose was buried in the auburn hair at the base of his cock. He looked up and his eyes flashed like an overcast sky before a thunderstorm. Crowley's breath caught. His toes curled, calves tensed. Then Aziraphale's mouth widened into a grin. He pulled away again, still slow and heavy, lips loose around Crowley, teasing the foreskin, making sure he got a good view of Aziraphale's tongue sliding along the underside of his cock. Mad bastard! All of a sudden, the heat around his cock and the hand digging into his arse were gone. Aziraphale straightened up on the edge of the bed, pressing a gentle kiss to the skin above Crowley's belly button.
Do take the rest of your clothes off while I get the paraphernalia.
Before Crowley had the chance to scoff at the choice of vocabulary, Aziraphale had gotten up from the bed and was crouching down next to his suitcase. Crowley stood there confused, hard, and woefully neglected. He watched as Aziraphale, once again, pulled a whole array of items from his luggage. This time it was a pocket watch, a box of After Eight, the silver cigarette case from earlier, and a bottle of lube. He picked up the lube and the cigarette case and returned to the bed.
Oh, but you're still wearing your trousers,
he said indignantly. Crowley's trousers were bunched up around his knees, which he supposed did fall under the definition of wearing. As he set about shimmying out of those, he noticed that Aziraphale had prized open the cigarette case and extracted two foil-wrapped condoms from it before he snapped it shut and placed it gently onto the bedside table.
Of course that's where you keep your condoms. Surprised the lube's still in the bottle. Didn't fancy decanting it into a jam jar?
Oh, ridiculous idea. That would be all manners of unhygienic.
Aziraphale crawled onto the bed, lips pursed, but clearly moments away from breaking into laughter. He reached out and put Crowley down on top of him, both of them toppling onto the mattress together. There was a bit of a scramble as Crowley kicked off his trousers and pants, simultaneously reaching for every bit of Aziraphale he could get his hands and his mouth on. The scent of rose still clung to his skin, and it was perfect. Sweet and otherworldly, so wrong for the season, but so right for Aziraphale. Crowley tasted the remains of the bubble bath from the dip between his clavicles, lips brushing down over the chest he'd spent the afternoon admiring. He dragged a hand down to cup Aziraphale's cock, hard and hot against his palm. Gave it a lazy stroke, then another. Let his fingers dip lower between Aziraphale's eagerly parting legs.
Finally,
Crowley whispered. He licked over a nipple, relishing the squirm he got in return.
You're a fucking tease. You know that, Aziraphale fell?
Aziraphale fell did know it, judging by the smug little huff he let out. Crowley peppered the expanse of his chest with more kisses.
Wiggling about in the tub like that, tempting me, splashing around like the Little Mermaid or something.
Aziraphale gasped as Crowley's mouth closed over the other nipple.
The only way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it.
He panted, shallow breaths rocking his chest like a storm. Crowley smiled, scraping his teeth ever so lightly over it.
I knew you were gonna say that.
And yet you set it up for me.
Was doing you a favour.
Aziraphale curled his fingers around Crowley's neck, pulled him up along the length of his body to press a hot kiss to his mouth.
I suppose I should thank you for indulging me.
He breathed against Crowley's wet lips.
You can thank me by rolling over.
Aziraphale scrambled to comply, snatching up the pillow. He settled back onto the mattress with his legs parted, knees tucked in at an angle. A quiet sigh of anticipation escaped him, muffled by the downy thickness of the pillow as he lowered his face onto his crossed forearms. How the tables have turned, Crowley thought, though he didn't say anything. No need to be rude, not with Aziraphale trembling and ready for him, flushed pink from sheer want. And still, it was satisfying seeing him desperate for a change. Back arched, round ass on display, just for him. Crowley ripped open the condom wrapper Aziraphale had cleverly placed right next to them and rolled it on, hastily applying a generous amount of lube to his cock. Much more gently, he spread some more to Aziraphale's rim, fingertip dipping inside for a moment. Shallow motions, whispers of promise.
I don't mean to brag, but we can move straight on to the main event if you so wish.
Aziraphale said, with a coy look over one shoulder. Crowley, as he'd found out just today, did not need telling twice. He positioned himself between those thick thighs he'd first caught a glimpse of so many hours ago, peeking out from underneath the dressing gown. Slowly, he pushed into Aziraphale, inch by inch, until his stomach was pressed flush against the curve of his arms. Glorious, tight heat enveloped him, intensified by the pulsing of his heartbeat in his veins. Finally, their ridiculous dance was about to culminate in this moment which had, perhaps, been inevitable from the minute they'd set eyes on each other.
Fuck!
Crowley dug his knees into the slippery bedsheet, desperate to move, but considerate enough to give Aziraphale a moment to adjust. His hands were resting on Aziraphale's hips, thumbs brushing up and down the small of his back, coated by tiny droplets of sweat, until he felt the muscles relax beneath his fingers. Aziraphale sank lower into the sheets.
Ugh! Will you move already?
He huffed, somehow managing to sound snippy while arse up and face down in a hotel bed. So much for being considerate. Crowley pulled out, savoring the wet track on his cock, the tight grip of Aziraphale's body on his. Fuck! This was not how he'd expected the day to go, but he sure as hell wasn't complaining. His thumb sank into the pillowy softness of Aziraphale's arse, leaving white prints on pale pink skin. Crowley began to thrust, keeping a slow, deliberate pace. It was driving Aziraphale mad. He didn't say anything, but the impatient wiggling, the desperate attempts to take him deeper, were unmistakable. Dimples appeared on either side of his spine as he arched his back further, rocked his hips down onto Crowley. But he had absolutely no intention of making this quick now. After being on the receiving end of the slowest seduction in the history of mankind, it was Aziraphale's turn to be patient. Outside, the snow was falling again, thick white flakes barely illuminated by the light spilling out from the uncurtained windows. Crowley was a figurine inside a snow globe, right at the center of a raging but unnaturally silent storm. Aziraphale was silent as well. A little too silent for Crowley's liking. He picked up the pace, shifted his legs to flatten the angle, deepen his thrusts. The effect on Aziraphale was immediate. The rumbling sigh he let out made Crowley's thighs shake.
Lord, yes, just like that.
Crowley had intended to be in control, but it was him falling apart at the sound of that voice, quivering with lust, an echo of his own longing spinning inside him like a Catherine wheel. He gave into the feeling, let it overwhelm him, hips snapping at a punishing speed, even as his lungs were screaming for oxygen and his knees were losing traction on the bedsheet.
Down!
He rasped, desperate, gasping for air. With one hand on Aziraphale's back, he pushed, not roughly, just to keep him steady. Aziraphale sank into the mattress, legs playing as far as they would. Crowley fought the urge to close his eyes. This was about to be over, and he wanted to remember the sight. Aziraphir grinding into the mattress below as Crowley fucked him hard and fast. The smooth skin of his back glistening with a sweaty sheen that begged to be licked off. His ass soft and round, mottled with the red and white of fingerprints where Crowley had clung to him. Then, entirely without warning, Aziraphale clenched around him as he came. A wave of tension shook his body, washed out in strong pulses that bore down on Crowley's cock. It was so intense, he could barely take it.
Oh!
Crowley gasped, sounding quite unlike himself. Two deep thrusts brought him over the edge. With a shudder and a final push, he spilled inside Aziraphale, wave after wave of his orgasm thrumming through his bloodstream, lungs barely keeping up with the demands of his muscles. He had just enough coordination not to collapse on top of Aziraphale, but aimed his fall to land right beside him. His hands trembled as he pulled off the condom, tied it into a knot, and deposited it on the bedside table.
Don't you dare get cum on my cigarette case. It was my great-grandfather's.
Aziraphale appeared to have caught his breath rather more quickly than Crowley was managing.
You keep your condoms in your great-grandfather's thingy?
He panted, failing to put the right amount of snark into his voice.
Fucking weirdo.
It's what he would have wanted.
Aziraphale rolled over onto his side to face Crowley.
And anyway, I don't smoke, so what else am I supposed to do with it?
Crowley burst out laughing, which was no good for the old oxygen supply. The hand that fluttered down on the side of his neck was warm and gentle, and made Crowley strangely drowsy.
Is this what you do, then? Go to hotels and hook up with strangers?
You're no stranger to me, Mr. Wotton.
That's Lord Henry to you.
Aziraphale regarded him with a look that was all too fond. One Crowley hadn't seen on him before. One he wouldn't mind seeing again.
I like to indulge on my nights away. Though, usually, my hookups, as you so crudely put it, don't find their way into my bed by being a room-stealing nuisance.
Who are you calling?
Oh, no, we're not having that argument again.
You started it.
Crowley crossed his arms and pulled his mouth into a sulky pout, the effect of which was somehow negated by the way he melted into Aziraphale's embrace.
Here's a new one for me, anyway. Seduction by bubble bath. Certainly an experience.
Experience is merely the name men give to their mistakes.
That wild sure talked a load of bollocks.
When Crowley looked up, he found Aziraphale smiling at him, bright and beautiful, and undoubtedly relieved.
No regrets, then?
Of course not. Can't think of a better way to see out the old year. You?
I'm quite inclined to agree. Speaking of which, I believe we have a party to attend downstairs, and I'd rather not miss the free buffet.
Hungry already after that pizza?
You mean the 3½ slices you graciously left me?
Aziraphale laughed and shuffled away to the edge of the bed, leaving an unpleasant cold in his wake. Crowley watched as he pulled on a pair of tan trousers, an ivory cotton shirt, a velveteen waistcoat shimmering like burnished gold, and a bow tie patterned in beige tartan.
A sepia Willy Wonka,
he muttered, sitting up.
Now I get it. Hello, Tedfield!
Called a ginger woman in a red sequin jumpsuit from a low and wobbly-looking stage.
I'm Carmine! We're Fake a Chance on Me! And I hope you're all ready for some honey-honey!
Crowley sneered and made a beeline for the bar, dragging Aziraphale behind him by the hand. He followed, happily chewing on a sausage roll. Crowley wasn't entirely sure how he'd managed to procure it. The buffet was on the other side of the room. The lobby appeared to have been hastily redecorated. The doilies and fake flowers were still there, but they were draped in tiny plastic disco balls and strips of holographic bunting, reflecting the light in a way Crowley had to admit was not ineffective. A good 50 guests were mingling already, mostly pensioners in their party best, which consisted of a whole lot of sequins and the occasional Hawaiian shirt. The open bar had clearly been made good use of already, going by the volume of the excited shouting. The bar was manned by the boy who'd been on reception earlier in the day. Crowley shot him an apologetic look as he ordered gin and tonics for himself and Aziraphale. But the lad either didn't recognize him or didn't care, absent-mindedly staring up at the singers on the stage while he poured their drinks. Fake a Chance on Me were bad, just awful, and unfortunately rather loud.
Best ABBA cover band in Oxfordshire, my arse!
Crowley yelled in Aziraphale's ear halfway through a soul-destroying rendition of Does Your Mother Know?
Think you could do it better?
Aziraphale snapped back. He paused for a moment, then giggled into his drink.
You're a professional musician. I forgot. Of course you could do better.
Crowley drained his glass and replaced it on the bar before holding out his hand.
Not by myself, though. Come on. Wanna be my Agnetha?
Is that the blonde one?
Don't pretend you don't know.
Aziraphale took a long sip from his own glass. Then he let himself be dragged to the makeshift dance floor at the center of the lobby, where he and Crowley proceeded to strike fear into the hearts of the other guests via some truly atrocious moves. They twirled and hopped about with the finesse of two people several drinks deeper into the night than they actually were. From one of the armchairs that had been pushed against the wall, the hotel manager watched them with a satisfied smirk. Crowley winked at her as he and Aziraphale bounced past like a pair of children at a sleepover. The manager raised her wine glass in a toast. How odd! Just hours ago, Crowley had been terrified of someone recognizing him in a place like this. And now he was dancing without a care, without his sunglasses on even. Henry Wotton could go fuck himself. Anthony Crowley had finally arrived, and he didn't give a shit about his friends in London or the inevitable snark on Twitter, should pictures from tonight make the rounds online. He'd just gotten led by an absolute demon who looked like an angel. He was back in Tadfield for the first time in years, dancing to terrible covers of excellent songs, surrounded by drunk pensioners. Yeah, Anthony Crowley was doing just fine. Aziraphale spun him about a tad too enthusiastically, making Crowley slip and topple backwards, right into a body that was surprisingly well padded. He bounced right off it and turned around to apologize.
What were you going, twat?
A person that looked like a very short Michelin man barked. Crowley furrowed his brows.
Aren't you the pizza delivery?
Aren't you a proper little genius?
What the hell are you doing here?
Road's all blocked. Can't get through with my bike. Now I'm stuck here with you wankers, and it's all your fault.
Aziraphale appeared next to Crowley, possibly to see why he was being shouted at. He pointed at the delivery person's puffer coat, scarf and hat.
Oh, you do look awfully warm in all those layers. The cold's in my bones. Now fuck off. You're ruining my evening.
Crowley pulled Aziraphale away, sensing that a thick mittened punch might be imminent.
Your music's shit, by the way.
The delivery driver called after them when they had nearly made it to the buffet. Crowley thought wistfully about the time he'd spent New Year's Eve on a yacht in the Caribbean, partying with some of the music industry's greatest. He'd sat in a hot tub with Brian May, listened to his drunk advice on writing guitar solos.
This is the worst New Year's Eve party I've ever been to.
He lied.
Let's get out of here.
He pointed to the French windows leading out onto a back terrace.
Oh, it'll be absolutely freezing.
Aziraphale protested, hugging his elbows in anticipation. Crowley looked around and snatched one of the many knitted blankets draped across the leather armchairs and sofas by the wall. Like thieves, they tiptoed to the French windows. Not that anyone was paying them much attention, busy as they were chanting along to Waterloo. Only one young man watched them, and when they passed him, he stepped into their path.
Are you Anthony Crowley?
He asked, wringing his hands.
No, he's not.
Aziraphale grabbed Crowley's elbow.
Come on, Henry.
Crowley wriggled free from his grasp.
Yeah, I am.
He said to the young man. His face lit up.
I love your music, like, so much. Can I get a selfie? And maybe you can sign my,
I haven't got a pen.
Crowley interrupted. He did take a picture with the lad, though, while Aziraphale stood there with his arms crossed, impatiently tapping a foot on the parquet floor. The young man scurried away, and they finally made it outside. The woolen blanket was large enough to envelop both of them like a cloak, and, thus braced against the cold, they sat down on the only bench that was still dry, with the roof above protecting it from the blizzard. The garden must have been beautiful when not covered in a foot and a half of freshly fallen snow. Even so, it was stunning. In an alien sort of way. For a minute they sat in silence, arms wrapped around each other, thighs and shoulders touching. They were comfortably warm in their woolen cocoon as they watched more and more snow come down in large, heavy flakes.
This is the best New Year's Eve celebration I've ever been to,
Aziraphale said, tipping his head so their temples were pressed against each other.
When we're back in London, I'll take you to a proper party.
Crowley tried to picture it. Aziraphale with his clout hair and his polished brogues among his London friends. Fellow musicians, socialites, media types. At the very least, it'd be hilarious. But another, more tender voice inside him genuinely wanted to share this part of his life with someone else. With this someone specifically. Aziraphale looked at Crowley with a deep crease between his eyebrows.
Will you really?
Yeah, why not?
I wasn't sure whether you'd want to continue our acquaintance when we're both back in town. We move in very different circles, after all.
Ah, suppose you're right. But why the hell not? I had a good time tonight. Still having a good time. I thought you were too. Or are you more the what happens in Tadfield stays in Tadfield type?
Not at all. What happened in Tadfield might just as well happen again elsewhere, don't you think? No reason why it shouldn't. I had a marvellous time tonight, my dear.
And give me your number and I'll show you a marvellous time any time you fancy.
Careful, or I might just take you up on that.
I bloody well hope so.
This seemed like the right moment to indulge in a minute or two of snogging. Luckily, Aziraphale appeared to be of the same opinion. He tipped his head up and captured Crowley's lips with his, bitter with the herbal notes of gin and already a little chilled from the icy air. When they parted, their breath came away in clouds.
So, what are you going to write about Tadfield Manor Hotel?
Crowley asked, still only inches away from Aziraphale's lips.
For the Observer.
Aziraphale sighed and leaned back against the frozen wood of the bench.
Nothing, I should think. Doesn't seem fair to judge them based on this one night. The double booking was shoddy, of course, but then we didn't exactly make it easy for them, did we, my dear Henry Wharton?
Yeah, we really didn't. My dear Henry Wharton. And anyway, I thought they handled it all right in the end.
Oh, they absolutely didn't. But we made the best of it. Though the details of that are really not suitable for the readership of the Observer.
So, what's the plan?
I suppose I'll have to come back again in the new year. Give this place a second chance.
Aziraphale shot Crowley a calculating look, eyes twinkling in the dark.
You could accompany me if you wish.
Does the Observer even fork out for a second guest?
Crowley drawled, completely incapable of hiding his delight at the thought of coming here again with Aziraphale.
Aren't you a literal millionaire?
Oh, yeah, I am, actually. Funny how this all happened. Both of us picking the same name. And then the snow, like a sign or something.
There is no such thing as an omen. Destiny does not send us heralds.
Wait, is that another wild line? What's that even mean, destiny doesn't send heralds?
She is too wise or too cruel for that.
Aziraphale continued the quote with a smug grin that Crowley wanted to kiss right off his face.
So he's saying destiny exists, yeah? But we don't get a warning when it hits us in the face.
Aziraphale didn't respond immediately, His thumb drew shapeless squiggles on Crowley's palm. Soothing, gentle, yet frighteningly electrifying.
I think in the end it doesn't matter whether it's destiny or chance,
he said in the measured tones of someone who had thought about the matter.
The end result is the same. Us, here, on a freezing cold bench in the snow.
Them, there, on a freezing cold bench in the snow. It was better than a hot tub with Brian May, or a mountain of cocaine in Manhattan. Crowley leaned back against the brick wall of the manor house beside them. It was hot and icy even through the layers of his hair.
Listen.
From inside the building, the last notes of Money, Money, Money faded and were suddenly replaced by a mismatched chorus of voices counting down from 10.
Oh!
Aziraphale whispered, panicked.
We're missing the new year.
He shifted as if to get up, but Crowley held him tight to his side, slung an arm around his shoulder, and pulled him close.
No, we're not. Stay here.
The voices rose as the countdown neared zero, culminating in a raucous cheer.
We should probably...
Crowley began, but the rest of his sentence was cut off by a kiss, which was exactly what he'd been about to suggest. He was buzzing with it, the way Aziraphale's breath warmed his chilled jaw. The hand that pushed through the layers of the knitted blanket was warm too, coming to rest on the back of his neck. Inside the hotel lobby, the guests were already most of the way through an off-key rendition of Auld Lang Syne. But when Aziraphale and Crowley parted, their hearts were pounding hard in a completely different rhythm.
Happy New Year, my dear,
Aziraphale whispered, smile bright like fireworks. Crowley buried his nose in the rose-scented cloud of his hair.
Happy New Year.
The end.